Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury?
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged.
There it is. 30 years ago yesterday, the verdict heard around the world. Dan, I was about just shy of my third birthday when that happened, so I don't have a huge recollection of it, but that is one of those moments where I think everyone who was there for it remembers where they were. So I'm going to throw it at you, Dan. Do you remember where you were October 3rd, 1995, when Orenthal James Simpson was acquitted of murder?
Yeah, I was just starting. It didn't really stand out to me. I was just starting my broadcasting career. I was in Fresno, California, and I was doing sports, but I don't necessarily remember the moment. It wasn't like, you know, some people talk about when JFK died and they can recall exactly what it is that they were doing. It didn't necessarily stick with me like that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I was a couple months shy of my third birthday. I was, you know, still running.
He knew, apparently. And you probably, because you follow all the documentaries.
Seen them all.
So the night before, apparently he was made aware of the verdict.
Yeah, the guard said, I don't think you need to be worried. I mean, that was, again, I go back, I watch all the documentaries and the FX series they did in 2016. God, that was 9 years ago, which they did a fantastic job on with that one. You go back on it, it's the moments that you realize how it all came together. And, you know, where there was, you know, the fact that DNA evidence wasn't really a thing that people used back then. No one really understood what it meant. The glove thing. Then, of course, there was Mark Furman's testimony. And you told me a pretty interesting Mark Furman story at the break. I don't know if you want to share that on air, or I kind of just outed you on that. But
yeah, no, I was in Seattle when I was sportscasting out there, and I was at a place called the Brooklyn having a beer and a meal with some friends. And it was this big circular bar. And so the bartender came over and said, hey, someone's buying you a drink. And, you know, I was on television doing my thing. People knew who I was, so that would happen from time to time. And I said, oh, thank you very much. And the guy from across the way, I saluted him. Thank you for the beer. And I continued the conversation with my friends. And one of my buddies said, bro, is that who I think it is? Is that Mark Furman that just bought you a beer? And so we confirmed this with the bartender, who said that, yes, he was somewhere out in the Pacific Northwest many years after the trial, and he was doing, I want to say, some political radio show somewhere in the Pacific Northwest and would spend time in Seattle. And so there you go. Mark Furman bought me a cocktail.
Yeah, he planted a drink on you, I guess some might say. But all right, yes, that was 30 years ago.
Can you
yesterday.
Imagine the DNA? Like if he had, you know, Nicole Simpson's, who's the boyfriend?
Ron Goldman, the waiter.
Ron Goldman, the waiter.
Yeah, I don't think everyone says they were dating.
That was
a popular misconception. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
But you're right. When you talk about DNA, why was Ron Goldman's DNA in your Jeep? End of story. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Like, no, the thought that deep, you know?
I mean, it's like, how do you explain it that way away?
It was a horribly processed case by the criminal investigators on the scene. Hopefully, the ones who responded to the body that Mac Jones saw did a little bit of a better job there. But yeah, I just every now and then these anniversaries pop up, and that's just a story that always just boggles my mind of the whole OJ experience from start to finish. It's a fascinating story that I can't get enough of. So
someone's giving a shout out to Cato Kalen.
Oh, there you go, Cato Kalen. Oh, man, that's a good one there. That's a name. But again, talk about wild storylines here that we just can't seem to tear our eyes away from. The 4-1 49ers, Dan, they're +8 in point differential. All their wins have been by 5 or less points. Two of their wins have been on the last play of the game. They beat a New Orleans Saints team that's probably going to be in the top 5 of the draft, and it wasn't a pretty win. They gutted out a win against a Seattle Seahawks team that's looking like they could be players, quarterback play notwithstanding. They're 4-1, and I feel like right now we're 5 games into the season. We're about a little over a quarter of the way through the season now. Let's just take a step back for a minute and just look at where this team is at. And Dan, you know, last week we did this show, and 2 weeks ago we did this show, and you know, there was some trepidation. You know, are we buying in on this team yet or not? I did the show last week with Carter, and that's where we kind of talked about, are we being too optimistic about this team? 4-1, I'll be honest, they're doing a little bit better at this point in the year than I thought. I thought they were going to lose all East games in October, and starting with this one on Thursday against the Rams. And I was proven wrong on that one, glad to have, because this team looks like, warts and all, I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, but this is a team that I still truly believe will be in the playoffs this year, even with the injuries that they've been dealing with.
Oh, they'll be in the playoffs.
I think they can. Honestly, I think they will win this division right now. I think they're going to win this division.
They're 3-0 in the division. They certainly have the upper hand in the driver's seat. The question, I think, going forward is, are they going to be a number one seed? Is this team better? I mean, there's so much ebb and flow in a football season. There's so many peaks and valleys, and while they're playing well right now, is this defense going to continue to mature? What's going to happen at the quarterback position? Are players going to continue to go down with injury? But are they as good as Philadelphia? Are they going to be as good as the Green Bay Packers?
Or Detroit?
The Detroit Lions. So a part of me is not willing to put them in that sort of rarefied air, which is, I know, sort of blasphemous around here, but maybe I need to see a little bit more. The defense has been good, but I still don't know the identity, and maybe that identity will reveal itself when these young players and the game begins to slow down for them. We saw Alfred Collins make a big play, C.J. West, and even the second-year player, and Renardo Green, and Stout at the nickel corner. When all of these guys get some reps and, you know, get back to me in 2 or 3 months when they're no longer wide-eyed rookies, but actually impactful football players to go along with Fred Warner. You know, maybe they'll have more of an identity net then, but right now it's just, there's a lot of projects, a lot of potential, a lot of, a lot of conjecture. And then the offense, because of all of the injuries, also is sort of lacking, you know, exactly who they are. Like, can we really pass judgment on this team when Kittle's not playing, when you don't have Brandon Ayuk at one and wide out position, Juwan Jennings in the slot, Ricky Pierce. I mean, yes, they're 4-1, but to me, the legitimacy of that 4-1 is still somewhat in doubt, if any of that makes sense.
Well, I see, and you bring up those injuries there, and let's start on the defensive side because, again, the reason why I thought they would struggle a lot in October, Dan, is, again, you look at the slate they have here, obviously starting with the Rams. Going to the Bucs next week, that'll be a very interesting test. That game was moved back to 125, and it'll be on CBS. I wonder if that'll be the Nance Romo game. If they win that one, then I think we're ratcheting up this conversation to a whole new level. That will be a big test. But the reason why I looked at the October slate, at the Rams, at the Bucs, versus the Falcons, at the Texans, that seemed like 4 great games to really trip up the youth on this defense. I believe in the talent on this defense. I think Upton Stout's a guy who, he'll have a bad play one play, but then he'll come back and make a great play the next. I love that kind of a short-term memory there. Again, we saw Alfred Collins grow up a little bit. C.J. West, he's going to be playing with the club. That might be tough. Robert Saleh has a very young defense here, and at some point you're going to go through growing pains, and My prediction was that October is when we would see those growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
You got two really good teams in the Rams and Bucks. You got a Falcons team that is 2-1 against Kyle Shanahan in his tenure here. They've had a couple dud games, including in 2019, they had a dud in Atlanta. And then I believe it was, 22, I believe, they had a dud game in Atlanta. Sorry, they hosted Atlanta in 19, went there in 22. And then finishing up against the Texans in Houston against DeMeco Ryans. And, you know, the Texans, they don't look anywhere near as good as we thought they were going to look. But, again, they're in the AFC South.
What happened to C.J. Stroud?
Again, this is why we – I was one of those people I anoint. I thought C.J. Stroud was going to be the next big thing. And this is why you don't anoint quarterbacks after one season, as even 49er fans can tell you the dangers of doing that. But I still think that, you know, even after that, even after any of these October struggles, when you look at what they'd be doing in November, at the Giants versus the Rams, at the Cardinals, then versus the Panthers, at the Browns, I feel good about all those games except for that game in Cleveland, only because Jim Schwartz is Kyle Shanahan's kryptonite. But that's a great, you know, stretch of games there.
Are you being facetious? You're really afraid of Cleveland?
No, I'm looking at the history. Jim Schwartz, for whatever reason, I think Kyle Shanahan's like 1-10 or something against Jim Schwartz defenses. I kid you not. It's a weird thing. Listen, am I fearing Cleveland? No. But I'm not going to look at a game in Cleveland and just be like, oh, Niners got this.
Dylan Gabriel, the new quarterback.
Again, you would think so. But again, Jim Schwartz, he has that edge. Now, am I chalking that Cleveland game up as a loss? No. But I'm not going to just sit here and automatically assume it's a win because the coaching does matter here. That's why. But even still, it's a great runway for all those growing pains of October to fade away into growth in November. That timeline seems completely different now. You're seeing this defense grow up and get bigger in real time, and the growing pains haven't really been super present there yet, as I don't have any wood in the studio to knock on. But when you talk about why I feel just so great about where this Niners team is at, the play of this defense, you mentioned you don't know the identity of it. I see a defense that just flies around. They gang tackle. They don't miss a ton of tackles. I see two linebackers and D Winners and Fred Warner who set a tone of physicality out there. There's no pass rush. That's problematic. I expect the Niners to address that when the time comes as we get closer to the trade deadline. But overall, I like where this defense is going right now. I really do, and it has me optimistic as to what could be possible this year.
You know, the one thing about this team now that you're beginning to see is that there's some serious character.
Mm-hmm.
And what that game did the other night and some of the wins that they've stacked up to this point is they've come from behind and they won games. And that begins to bleed confidence. And they're now becoming a team that's believing in themselves. Whereas a year ago, it was the complete opposite. Things would go awry and then you're expecting this team to fall apart. Remember all the games they lost in the fourth quarter last year?
Well, I think you could point out that Arizona game 2 weeks ago, and I think you can point out this game Thursday night. I think the Niners, last year's Niners team, and I'm not pointing at any one player here, this 2024 Niners team as a whole unit would have lost those games against Arizona and the Rams that they
especially
won this year.
Especially in the fourth quarter, because that was their trademark a year mm-hmm. ago.
Well, remember Kyle's thing was he's never really won a game when trailing in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's where
what'd they do in week one against Seattle? Exactly that.
Well, that's where I wanted to go with this. And they did this also with a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter behind one Mac Jones. And I think that Mac Jones is sort of the eye of that storm in terms of the transformation of the personality of this football team now where you feel as though we're trailing in the fourth quarter, but that's okay because we can come back and win. Why? Because, well, we've done it before. That, again, I go back to that gutty performance and what it is that Mac Jones was able to do with all the injuries. I mean, at one point, it was his knee. At one point, I thought he was dead.
Oh, he was like straight up on the turf, yeah.
And then he's rubbing his forearm, and then he's puking. I'm like, how many ailments is this guy suffering from? And the fact that he stood in there, took shot after shot, and then threw the ball accurately down the field and led his team to a victory, I think he might be the personality that I'm referring to. Like, I think he might be the guy that is single-handedly transforming where this team was at a year ago in the fourth quarters where they would relinquish all those leads, that after what it is that we've seen with him playing this year and punctuated by that game against the Los Angeles Rams that this complete turnaround could be attributed to one guy and one guy's style of play, and that's Mac Jones.
See, I think it's a little bit more than that. I agree. I do think Mac Jones is a part of it, but I think in these situations, it's never just one thing. I think the fact the 49ers had the kind of – they had a very drama-free, for the most part, offseason. Yes, there's the Juwan Jennings holdout thing that was going on. That, I don't think, was ever as much of a distraction as, you know, the Brandon Ayuk one was last year. Dan, remember how absolutely, you know, just nuts that was. The Nick Bosa holdout didn't get as much frustration, but it was definitely, it affected his play that year. He even said as much that missing training camp impacted his play. The Deebo Samuel holdout, that was a big pain in the ass for this organization. They got Fred Warner and George Kittle wrapped up right away. They got Brock Purdy taken care of very early on in the summer, and it never, you know, exploded into a major crisis. And, you know, we talked to a lot of people in the 49ers press corps during training camp, whether it was Matt Barrows, whether it was Jennifer Lee Chan, whether it was Vic Taffer. They all had some sort of a line where it's that Kyle just looks happier, fresher, looser this year. I think Kyle Shanahan, coming off the Super Bowl loss last year, this team was down bad emotionally last year. I mean, think about Dan Leary. They were literally, I can't think of another team in recent memory
they
that came
ready to play football at the beginning of last season.
No, they weren't ready. I cannot think of another team that came as close to winning a Super Bowl as the Niners did without actually winning one. They had the lead in overtime. Nick Bosa was, you know, just feet away from grabbing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, if Dre Greenlaw does not go down in that game, I honestly think that last play where Mahomes rolls to his right and sees Mecole Hardman there, Oren Burks was playing a little shallow. Maybe Dre Greenlaw plays that better and is able to knock the ball out of the air or force Mahomes to not throw it. I don't know. There's so many if, ands, or buts that come out of that Super Bowl that I do think that when George Kittle said, you know, I think he came on one of our shows, he's like, yeah, we get over it pretty quickly. When he said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not over this at all. That Super Bowl hangover was real last year. And it came on the heels of three straight trips to the NFC title game. That puts a lot of wear and tear on your body. Last year, it just wasn't there for the Niners. This year, it's like, I think Kyle Shanahan, when he was downplaying the expectations for this team at the beginning of the year, I think it wasn't so much trying to downplay the expectations. It was just like, I don't think he was so much downplaying the expectations as so much it was the expectations weren't as heavy for the team this year. Last year, it was go back to the Super Bowl and try and, you know, make use of this window. And Shanahan even admitted that that might have been a mistake. This year, coming in without that gotta get to the Super Bowl pressure they've had the last few years, I do think that's a weight lifted off this team.
It's a weight lifted off the team, and there's, you know, there might be a different demeanor and a hop in the step of one Kyle Shanahan. But winning games coming from behind in the fourth quarter, to me, is something entirely different.
Well, like, no, but I think
that
that's what
takes the personality that I'm referring to. Yeah, you could be in a good frame of mind, and the team is more focused. They don't have the hangover of a Super Bowl from the year prior.
Exactly.
But winning the way they're winning, fourth quarter comebacks, the gutty play of one Mac Jones, I understand what it is you're saying, but I think that what it is that Mac Jones been able to do and the person, again, that keyword, the personality of this team is something entirely different of just being in the right frame of mind to enter a new season.
But I think that does start, though, in the offseason. I think one precludes the other. I think you have the good offseason, the good
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Vibes and training camp, and I do think that bleeds into the regular season where you are able to win these games that you weren't able to win last year, and then it snowballs in the good way. You know, you come in feeling good, you get those wins that make you feel good, now you're feeling great. You got your young guys making plays that make them feel more confident. You got an offense that's playing confident right now, despite the fact that they don't have a run, they don't really have much of a running game right now, despite the fact that almost all their big receivers, well, they're big name receivers, Ayuk, Pearsall, Kittle, who I'm lumping in with the receivers here, are injured right
He's
now.
He's a receiver.
Well, yeah, tight end, but yeah. Pass catcher, if you really want to be politically correct about it.
You know, when you were talking about all those guys that held out, if you were Juwan Jennings, for example, now when I think about it in retrospect, why wouldn't you hold out? Because it's the 49ers.
Oh, they've caved every year until then.
And everybody gets hurt. If I'm Juwan Jennings and I have a chance to get paid now as opposed to later, like, I am not taking that risk with this football team because I know that I'm going to get hurt. Why? Because you're Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, and everybody gets hurt. So, yes, I am going to hold out. And now that I think about it, I'm like, God bless every one of those guys that held out because it's the 49ers at the end of the day.
Well, again, I think that kind of goes into what I call the new world order for the 49ers, which is they're done playing this holdout game. And, you know, they kind of came down hard on Juwan this last offseason. I think that kind of prevented it from really blowing up into something ugly because they didn't cave in and give him the big deal that he wanted. They gave him a deal that I thought was perfectly representative of his value. And that's why it's very interesting. I don't want to get into this too much right now, but next offseason is going to be very interesting, Dan, because Nick Bosa can opt out and get an extension. And even though he's missing the rest of the year with an ACL injury, I still would not be shocked if he tries to up his value next year. And the Niners' new world order of we're not negotiating big-time contracts like this anymore, we're not caving anymore, that's going to be tested next year. That's a conversation for down the line. But right now, though, again, it just goes into, then you look at the offense, even without much of a running game, and this goes into Mac Jones getting a lot of the credit here, they're doing this without a full deck of cards. They're doing this basically with one hand tied behind your back. And when Ayuk does come back, which I don't know when that's going to be, Kittle might be back for not be back until the Falcons game. It seems like the Bucs game's not looking likely. And then hopefully you get Ricky back next week. Like, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback on November 2nd when the Niners go to play the Giants. But either way, whoever is the quarterback, you should be feeling good about what could be possible that day. Again, I hope it's not Brock that day. I want to protect his foot. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. By the way, Dan, did you know that the preseason for the Warriors is right around the corner? And 95-7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 this afternoon, starting at 12 o'clock, less than 35 minutes away from this. For the Warriors preseason special, you don't want to miss this. We got live appearances from Warriors favorites like Festus Ezeli, Fezzy Fell, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuki, Tim Roy, and the king himself, Bonte Hill. Plus, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game Sunday, October 5th, which is tomorrow, against when the Warriors host LeBron James Jr. and the Lakers. But wait, there's more. Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. That's in literally 34 minutes right now. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season is almost here. Your station for everything Warriors on 95.7 The Game. We're getting up against it. I want to talk a little bit of Warriors on the other side before the preseason special starts, Dan. But first things first, before we hit this break, Gene is on the line out in Oakland. He's got some thoughts on Mac Jones. Gene, Roaster of the Year, how you doing, my guy?
I'm doing good, although that was like a couple years ago. But anyways.
Once a Roaster of the Year, always a Roaster of the Year.
You're right. So I wanted to say something about Mac Jones. I mean, and Dan, it sounds to me like you're willing to give him more props than what I'm generally hearing. I mean, I hear that, yeah, he did his terrific sort of James Brown impersonation in this last game. And if nobody knows what I'm talking about, just go watch a video of James Brown. You know, basically, he'd go out in the field, then he'd go off the field, and you think, oh, he's done for the game, and then he'd go back out. But, what he's shown me is that he's more than just a backup, okay? I've seen enough now to know that this guy is a damn good starting quarterback on most teams, all right? Just look what he had. Let's look at this last game. And you can't say it's because of the people around him. I mean, look at the people around him, for Christ's sake. I mean, Kendrick Bourne was on the street 2 weeks ago. The Robinsons, they're okay. Nothing special. Pongus and Farrell for the tight ends to the second and third stringers. He had one star, BMC, that's it. For him to go out there and on a bum knee and do what he did, man, that's frankly one of the best quarterback performances I can remember in years. So, and I'm not saying this, we should have a quarterback controversy at this point. It looks to me, from what I understand, that Brock's going to be out for at least 2 to 5 weeks now. So he's going to have a chance, that mm-hmm. is Jones, to really show what he can do. I know I keep hearing, he's a starter in two other places and it didn't work out. Maybe it took him this system and this much time to develop to really show what he can do. Yeah. But if he really shines for the next 5 weeks, okay, regardless of what Brock does, it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I say we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, Gene. Let's just, for right now, Dan, Gene, let's just enjoy the good that we have going on right now. And Mac Jones is providing that good. On the other side, Dan, we had a resolution to
Kuminga Crisis.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that and the future of one Steve Kerr. On the other side, all this brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. All right, final half hour here. Actually got about 21 minutes here, because we actually got to hit our heart out today, Dan, because the preseason special that I teased prior to this break is coming up next. Evan Giddings, Daryl the Guru Johnson. They're going to be talking a lot of Warriors here. I want to talk a little bit Warriors also with you here, but Dan, Stephen Rizzotto brought up a very important point at the break. Playoff baseball's going on right now. We got Cubs, Brewers going on. Brewers up 3-1 on the Cubs right now. You don't need to tune into it. Just stay locked here, though. We'll keep you updated. Dan, you got any, is there a team that you're looking at in the postseason that you're hoping will knock the Dodgers out?
I know you hate hearing this, because I hear from everybody that it's wide open this year. It's wide open. Anyone can win it. And I think a lot of people are thinking, well, the Los Angeles Dodgers weren't that good this year because of the injuries. But I'm sorry, Sam, if you happen to follow the Dodgers over the last month,
yep,
they're now that team.
Well, like, they're healthy.
They're hitting. They're the team everybody thought were going to be as the dominant team this year that didn't show up. That's the team now that's been reassembled and ready to go. I think they're going to run the table.
You know what I call it? I compare the Dodgers to the 2018 Warriors. That second year with Kevin Durant, where they had the 2 seed underneath the Houston Rockets, and they would have inexplicable losses to teams like the Suns or the Hornets or whoever. And the phrase that was used was flip the switch, as in when this team gets to the playoffs, they will flip the switch and go on a run. And that's exactly what they did. And I hate saying this, but I think the Dodgers are a flip the switch team. You know, they're a very arrogant team. They're a very confident team. And
but I think the injuries were real this year to the pitching staff. And I think this
They have those injuries every year. Every year we talk about who's going to be the Dodgers starting pitcher in the playoffs.
Well,
and then the playoffs come along, it doesn't matter.
I mean, at one point they had, like, in the beginning of the year, it's like that rotation was depleted. And then the hitting for the Dodgers, I don't know if it's so much of a switch. Mookie Betts was not good this year.
But even Mookie Betts not good is still, like, he would still be the second or third best hitter on the Giants this year.
Yeah, no, that's true, but
he's still damn great baseball, and he's another one. I would not be shocked if Mookie Betts... Didn't Mookie Betts get like four hits in the game one
now
against the Reds? Yeah.
He's back.
That's
now
called flipping the switch. You know, it's the fact is when you got a lineup that starts off with Shohei, Mookie, Freddie, and Teoscar Hernandez, you know, that's a gauntlet right off the bat there. And the Reds were not qualified to even be on the field with the Dodgers. So they're going to take it on the Phillies. The Phillies, who don't have Zach Wheeler, that'll be a tough test. There's anything that's going to knock the Dodgers out of the playoffs, Dan, this bullpen has a walks problem. You saw it against
Sasaki now is in the bullpen. I mean,
they give up too many free passes, and a good team can take advantage of that. The team I'm looking at is the Blue Jays. I think the brand of baseball they play, they put the ball in play. They're not a great power hitting team,
kinda
but
like
they can't
hit
home runs. Yeah, that Brewers as well. But Blue Jays more so than the Brewers though remind me a lot of the 2010 and 2012 Giants and how they play the game, and more frankly the approach that those teams have at the plate, the Blue Jays especially, that is a tough team to beat and a tough team to get out. So I look at them as a team that could get through, and maybe the Yankees will get back, but that's what October's all about, Dan, is who can keep the Dodgers from winning it all.
Like Seattle, seeing them in the postseason is always fun. And I think a lot of people, you know, I know you and I and a lot of baseball diehards are familiar. You don't even have to be a diehard because he might be the MVP this year. But I think there's a big sort of part of the country that's not familiar with the Big Dumper and Cal Raleigh and getting an opportunity.
Do you think he gets the MVP?
That's going to be fun. I don't know.
I think it's got to go to Judge just because I think
Judge is so good.
Listen, we look at the home runs for Cal Raleigh. What he finished with 62, was it?
Yeah.
We look at it, it's incredible, but all the other numbers he has, you know, are below Aaron Judge. But I think we do underrate the fact that Cal Raleigh did everything this year,
but he was
as
a catcher. Yeah.
Like, we do not, like, catching is one of the hardest positions in all the professional sports. The preparation you need to have. Like, the reason most catchers aren't great hitters is because they're more focused on catching and hitting. Like, Patrick Bailey is never going to be a great offensive catcher, but he'll make his bread and butter with actually the catching of the ball, usually. To do what Cal Raleigh did while sitting in the squat every night, that is damn impressive.
Yeah, no, that's
and
the
I
only
think
reason
you have
why.
To, you have to factor that in because a catcher is just so invaluable to a pitching staff. And
what's
to,
the only reason why there's
exactly
the consideration is because of the position he plays. Also have to keep in mind, there was a good chunk of the season he spent as a DH. It's not as though he caught every single game.
Well, yeah, I mean, most catchers don't, you know, they play 130 games, but that's a bat you have to keep in the lineup there with Cal Raleigh. So that'll be an interesting MVP
race. Hey, have
we
talked since Melvin got canned? I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. Well, okay, yeah, give me your quick thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know what, I think his undoing was that July and August? It was just... I don't think there was any. I think the fact that he just couldn't get, they were so bad for so long. And I think Buster Posey also, one of the things that Buster Posey sort of emphasizes is bringing back that energy to San Francisco, sort of replicating 10, 12, and 14. And when he lost 15 to 16 games at home, I think that did not sit well with Buster Posey. And then the four games he lost before the trade deadline, I think, you know, the wheels came off there a bit.
I thought it could go either way at the end. I thought the way they pushed at the end and still fell short with a reshaped bullpen, I thought might convince them to maybe try it again with Bob one more year, and he would just come in on a very hot seat with no extension to fall back on. In hindsight, though, Dan, I go back. It was a loss to the Rays on a Friday night, and at the end of the press conference, I asked Bob Melvin, you know, Bob, is there a different message you want to send at this team? And Bob gave a very, you know,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Finding answer, you know, we just got to keep going at it and, you know, just got to get back out the next day. And he said, you know, we got to go back out there with a positive attitude and we got to take the field tomorrow, unfortunately. And that's what he finished. He said, unfortunately. And that kind of was like, ooh, I think that was, in hindsight, the moment for me where I realized, like, no, this is over. This can't happen. And on the last day of the year, you know, Alex Pavlovich and Andy Baggerly asked the questions, you know, what's going to be your future? And Bob had very little to say. And that was all she wrote. And you can ask, was it fair to fire Bob after having the bullpen traded away and blah, blah, blah? I thought Bob did a great job reshaping the bullpen after those trades. But I don't think those trades alone are what kept the Giants out of the postseason. This was just everything lumped into one. There was no one thing that I think led to Bob Melvin's ousting. The most interesting thing I thought Buster Posey said this week, though, in his presser on Wednesday, was he doesn't expect Bruce Bochy to walk through that door. He kind of shut that down right away.
Good.
And I agree with you. I think that is the right move because, one, it's tough to go back again. And let's say Bochy comes back and it doesn't go well. I mean, Dan, how many coaches have gone away and come back?
Doesn't happen.
Phil Jackson did it, but that's a different circumstance. It very rarely works out the second time. You can't go back again.
He still wants to manage, too.
But here's the thing, though, and this gets into point number two. Buster says he's asked a lot about stability. The Giants have had a lot of turnover in the front office and on the coaching staff the last few years. When Buster was playing, Bruce Bochy was his only manager. Until Gabe Kapler, sorry. So all but 1 year. But Bochy was here for 13 years.
Yeah,
I think Buster wants a guy who's going to be here for 13 years. And Bochy's 70-71. I mean, let's say they do hire Bochy and you have all the success you could possibly want. Bochy steps down in 2-3 years. Now you got to do the search again. I don't think Buster wants to do that. So that's reason number two. And then reason number three why I think
he could be the next Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I don't think you want to be the next Tony La Russa. Then reason number three is by shutting it down now, whoever is hired, the comment won't be, well, why not Bochy? Why wasn't Bochy the hire? By taking Bochy off the table now, whoever comes in, whether it's Nick Hundley, whether it's Yadier Molina, whether it's Craig Albernaz, whether it's Kurt Suzuki, who was interviewed yesterday, they're all going to come in with, okay, you're the guy, not, aw, you could have been Bochy. So that's That's my takeaway there from
What about Kai Correa?
Ooh, yeah, the only undefeated manager in Giants history, as Steven Rizzotto likes to point out to me. I'm a that's a no for me dog, as Mark Willard would say. No, I'll be honest, I brought Craig Albernaz, who was Rizzotto. Remind me, when was Albernaz on this coaching staff? I want to say he was 21.
20. He was part of Gabe's original staff.
Okay, so but not 21.
He was there during 21. He was the catching coach.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. So Buster does know him. He's been the associate manager for the Cleveland Guardians the last couple of years under Stephen Vogt, the guy who I would love to have Stephen Vogt.
Well, they had a shot at him.
They did, yeah. They went with Bob instead, so yikes.
And Vogt's a local guy.
Yeah, I would go for
the Giants.
Well, I mean, so is Bob Melvin, who also grew up a Giants fan. I would totally go for Craig Albernaz, though. If they can't pry Stephen Vogt out of Cleveland, I'd definitely go for Craig Albernaz to be the next manager of the Giants. As we're talking about managers and coaches, we talk about Kyle Shanahan a little bit. There is one head coach, Dan, that we haven't really talked about yet today, and that is Steve Kerr, who comes into this season with no contract extension beyond this year. Now, he talked at the day after Media Day. He said he's not worried about it. He said all the politically correct things, you know, no negotiations during the season, blah, 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 blah. It's definitely going to be a distraction this year because Kerr is going to have a game where things go wrong. We're all going to blame him. We're all going to get mad at him. And we're all going to say, don't bring him back. Do you like the fact that Steve Kerr is coming in to the last year with basically on a lame duck situation?
It's not whether I like it. I think Steve Kerr has earned this.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think there are a few. Phil Jackson was like this. There's a few guys who can write their own ticket. He can go back into broadcasting if he wants.
He has options.
He can do what. And listen, is there a chance they bring him back? Yeah, he's Steve Kerr at the end of the day. I think he's earned everything that he's done as a coach to this point has given him the opportunity to just say, I'll wait and see. I don't think that. And if he walks away, would any of us be surprised knowing sort of how he is wired and sort of, you know?
I would be a little surprised.
Well,
it depends. Is Steph still on the roster?
He's a little different. Like, I think, he's politically outspoken. He's just somebody that, like, he may want to do something else in this world. I think he's just, he's different. He's not a career guy, although, you know, he's done just about everything in the NBA. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if he was to do something philanthropic or spend more time with his kids and grandkids or I think he's put himself in a position where he's given himself options, and he's not beholden to, oh, you know, am I going to get the contract extension? He's going to do whatever the hell it is that he feels is going to suit him at the time.
He is 60 years old, so he still does have some coaching years left in him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I look at San Antonio. I would not be shocked if he ends up there at some point, but that's neither here nor there. I would like him to be locked in a little bit more, but I think as long as I'll say this, he's got the best person in his corner down there at Chase Center, and I mean Steph Curry. As long as Steph wants Steve Kerr to be here, I expect that to be the case. We had Nick Friedell on earlier this week, Dan, our friend, cousin Nick. He's covering the Warriors for The Athletic now. Here is he's echoing the sentiment that I just kind of said there. He doesn't see Steve Kerr walking away as long as Steph's still here.
I've listened to Kerr talk about how much he loves coaching Steph Curry for years and years, publicly, privately, to all different types of people in the media. He has said repeatedly how much he enjoys coming to work because he knows that the tone he wants to set is set by Steph Curry. At least for me, I don't see a way that Steve just walks away from this team with Steph still at the peak of his powers or close to them, unless something pretty catastrophic happens this season. I would expect her to be here at least for the foreseeable future with Steph.
So, I mean, I get the lame duck stats. The fact that Kerr's not stressing about it gives me confidence that, you know, maybe they'll get it done right at the end of this season. You know, give him another year or two, because Steph has, I believe, 2 years left on his current contract, this year and next year. Same with Jimmy, same with Draymond. I feel like everyone here is tied together. Steph, Dre, Jimmy, Steve, those four are all tied together here, and when Steph decides to hang it up, I think Steve Kerr will step down alongside with him.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dan, I saved it till the end. We got 7 minutes left in the
show
here.
Don't do it.
I got to do it.
Don't do it.
I got to do it. I got to do it. Do we want to maybe pot down a hotkey 7 in the studio there a little bit so it's not as loud?
Kuminga Crisis!
We're still going to play this during the regular season, too, as long as Kuminga's on the team. Dan, I guess I'll just throw it out. You know, what was your initial reaction when you saw this go get
really
done?
I really am so over it, man. Just let's play basketball.
No, it's just beginning. Now it's the fun part. Basketball. Now it's the basketball part.
Yeah, no, that I'll talk about. But I really don't want to revisit the contract.
And no, I'll say that everyone, you know, oh, Jonathan Kuminga caved. He lost the deal. I'll say this. I think a lot of people are getting what they want here. The Warriors gave him the contract that they wanted to give. Kuminga's going to get the money that he wanted to make. And more importantly, Kuminga's going to get traded in the middle of this season. And he's going to get what he wants at the end of the day, which is literally any other jersey to be worn on his back. I think Kuminga wants...
Everybody seems to think that's a foregone conclusion. But what happens if the team plays well and he's part of it?
That'll be pretty interesting. That'll be very interesting. But again, I won't play the cut, but Nick Friedell, when he came on, he said he doesn't see this as a long-term marriage.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
I think if Kuminga, I'll say this. If
January 15th, I think, is
yes.
That's when he can be traded.
Yes,
right?
And the deadline, I believe, is a few weeks later.
Well, February 15th is the trade deadline.
Yes, but he can't be moved until January. So
yeah, middle of January.
Which is perfect. They only need, they could literally only need one day to trade him. Right now, I would predict that he is going to be traded midway through the year, but let's entertain that possibility that what if things are going really well? What if the Warriors are cooking with hot grease in January going into February? What if, you know, Steve Kerr says he's very intrigued by the idea of Al Horford and Jonathan Kuminga on the court together. I think if you do that along with, you know, Steph, Jimmy, and Buddy on the floor, or maybe Draymond instead of Buddy to get a little bit of defense. I mean, think of the spacing there. They got Al Horford able to get out to the perimeter, Steph and Buddy on the perimeter, Jimmy able to create shots from all around the arc.
Is Al Horford taking his walker with him out to the perimeter?
Well, this is on non back-to-back games. The amount of space that Kuminga could have in the paint to do what he does best, which is slash to the rim, slam it down, the Kuminga slam. Because I don't think the Kuminga is that kind of a shooter, per se. I think he's more of like an inside scorer. He can shoot, but his best stuff is in the paint. I do think that sets up for, in theory, for Kuminga to have a potential to do some good this year. And if things are going well, then you play out the season. And then, Dan, the way that things are set up with this contract, they could tear it up after 1 year and renegotiate it, or maybe they move him next offseason. So I think my prediction right now is I think he probably does get traded midway through the year. And if that doesn't happen, then probably next summer. Is there a chance that this all blows over and everyone shakes hands as friends at the end of the day and we all walk off into the sunset together? Sure. Right now, I just don't see that.
One thing that I've learned in all these years of being on this planet is you never know. Yeah, never know. But I do want to get back to when we talk about everybody got what they wanted at the end of the day. I think Dunleavy pretty much said, hey, man, we're not backing down, which he did not. And Aaron Turner, for as loud as he was in stating his case on just including here at 95.7.
Oh, he does not come out this looking good.
He lost. You know, he didn't get anything he wanted. At the end of the day, it was Dunleavy who said, I'm not, you know, capitulating whatsoever. Well, it's a player. It's a team option. Take it or leave it. And they took it.
Well, I think what Kuminga wanted, though, was the flexibility to be able to jump ship when he wanted to. And I still think, I don't think he's getting all that power that he wanted. But there is a pathway off this team for Jonathan Kuminga, which is what I believe at the end of the day he really wanted. And is that pathway exactly how I think he envisioned it? No. But if Kuminga clearly does not trust Steve Kerr to develop him properly. He feels like his talents are being wasted here. Now, we can argue until we're blue in the face as to whether that's true or not. I'm just going on, this is what Kuminga wants for himself. And if his ideal plan is to be playing for a different team, I think everything is set up for him to get what he wants there. That's why I'm willing to say that Kuminga did get what he wanted. I don't think he got the exact deal he wanted. He didn't get the player option that him and Aaron Turner wanted. But if his main goal at the end of the day was to play somewhere else, then yeah, I do believe that he will be getting what he wanted there. We got about a minute left here. I'm not sure how we want to fill it, though. But yeah, Jonathan Kuminga going to be back. And it's going to be so scrutinized. There's no way it doesn't become a distraction, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's going to be a distraction. I think that, you know, it's going to be – and I don't think Steve Kerr is going to give in to any of this. Steve Kerr is not going to feel as though, oh, I got to play him or I've got to appease him. If he's going well, he'll get some run. If he's the Jonathan Kuminga that's not fitting into, quote-unquote, the system – he's going to go back into the doghouse, and he's not going to see run. That's Steve Kerr isn't going to compromise wins and losses to sort of benefit, you know, an individual or to cater to an individual player. So it's going to be pretty much – the thing about it is, though, Jonathan Kuminga is going to get an opportunity. Maybe the offense isn't going to go through him, but you know these old guys are not going to be playing in back-to-backs. And undoubtedly, I hate saying this, you can set your watch to it. One of those guys is going to go down with an injury, and so he's going to play.
Yeah. And again, leave open the possibility that it all could work out. Let's go around the room here. I'm going to put you two on the spot. Do the Warriors finish sixth or higher or seventh or lower? Zach, sixth or higher? Sixth or higher. Steven, sixth or higher or seventh or lower?
Definitely higher.
Dan?
Lower.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're still in the play-in box right now. Anyway, that's it for us today on the 95.7 The Game weekend wrap. The Warriors preseason special with Evan Giddings and Daryl the Guru Johnson's coming up next. Can't wait to see what they got going on. And I can't wait to see Miami beat the absolute snot out of Florida State. I'm going to change the sign off today. We're not doing a Dodger suck. Florida State sucks. See y'all in the next one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.